You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment as well if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, J.R. Ratcliffe, Journal Sentinel sports guru, will be joining us to talk all things sports, including, I believe, Game 3 will come up.
Yeah.
It's happening tonight. I know you're very fraught with angst.
No, I'm just sick to my stomach all the time. I can't enjoy the things in life. Like here sitting talking with you, the TV shows I love, all of the supportive comments on the live stream of everyone who watches who loves us. I can't enjoy anything, Jane. I just want to win.
That's all we want. So we're going to talk to J.R. Ratcliffe after the 10:30 news. Stay tuned for that. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Frog in My Throat edition.
Ribbit.
It's pretty literal. You're going to want to stick around for that. We talked about this yesterday, and seeing some of the reactions from members of the right, I think it's worth revisiting. Saturday, No Kings rallies are set for all across the country.
No Kings, a.k.a.
pro-democracy.
Hate America.
Well,
yeah.
According to some.
Yeah.
We have a little compilation of Republicans responding to Saturday's planned No Kings rally. Calvin, let's play that little clip, please.
This No Kings rally this weekend, that's the blue hair anthropomorphic, experiment that's going to happen up here in Washington, D.C.
I encourage you to watch. We call it the Hate America rally that'll happen Saturday. Let's see who shows up for that.
No.
I bet you see pro-Hamas supporters. I bet you see Antifa types. I bet you see the Marxist in full display, the people who don't want to stand and defend the foundational truths of this republic.
You know, this crazy No Kings rally this weekend, which is going to be the farthest left, the hardest core, the most unhinged in the Democratic Party, which is, a big title. And, No Kings equal no paychecks.
No Kings equal no paychecks.
Clearly, the Democrat Party of today is not your grandfather's Democrat Party.
Democrats.
They care about one thing and one thing only. Appeasing the radical pro-terrorist wing of their party.
You know, the same crowd planning to protest at their I Hate America rally this weekend.
Well, one of the things that I hope Cash, Talent, and Bonnie are looking into is, the funding of these groups. Who pays for the buses to bus a lot of these folks in? Who pays for the trucks that have riot gear that they hand out to the peaceful protesters? And I hope they are peaceful here, the No Kings protest, whatever. But again, it's absurd.
They're handing out riot gear to unicorns?
Yeah.
I must have missed that coverage from Portland.
It's day 15, folks, of the government shutdown, and all of those leaders are getting paid to do nothing. There's nothing
except go on Fox.
They can go on Fox. They can go on OAN, Newsmax, go on CNN, wherever they want to go. They're going there. They're talking about this thing happening on Saturday, which happened earlier.
It happened
this year,
in June. It was a countrywide No Kings marches.
Yep.
In June across the country, which were all peaceful, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not playing with their narrative.
Well, I mean, they don't like it. I mean, they talk about these individuals not being for the fundamental hallmarks of America and whatever they also want to say, but they don't. They're just scared, and they're scared of people exercising their rights given to them by the Constitution to assemble in peace, to voice their opinion, and to speak their mind, because these are people in power who are doing the worst things to this country.
If you're planning to go to a No Kings rally on Saturday, we would love to hear from you at 855-752-4842. Really want to know if you got your check yet.
Yeah.
George Soros, because I guess it's all about following the money. Ted Cruz on Fox said, follow the money. You look at the No Kings rally, there's considerable evidence that George Soros is behind funding these rallies, which may well turn into riots. And that is what they want.
I mean, that is, can you get another thing? At least just start here. Pick a different person. Mark Cuban. I don't care. But this George Soros nonsense of he's, do you know how much he'd have to pay to make this happen? He is a billionaire. Yes, he is. And he probably could afford it. But so far, we've said it before, we've never once seen a George Soros check or even someone like popping a 20 in front of the camera. Here's my money from a George Soros protest. It's never happened. And by the way, live streamer, Congress gets paid during a shutdown. Article 1, Section 6 says that. And the 27th Amendment confirms it. Congress makes their money during a shutdown. So stop it with the ridiculousness. But really, when it comes down to it, and I'm going to do, Jane, I'm going to throw it back to you for a moment because I want to do some calculations.
855-752-4842. Are you planning on going to a No Kings rally on Saturday? Which terrorist organization are you with? And, just curious. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'll be in Sauk City and demonstrating on the bridge on Saturday, along with several hundred people because they were the last time. And yes, we are definitely, we are Antifa. Of course, we have no charter. We have no group meetings. We have no membership list.
Yep, yep.
We have no membership card.
Right.
We have no headquarters building. We aren't organized by anybody. We might be Democrats, Republicans, Independents, but we're united in this to point out and resist fascist authoritarianism, just as our fathers and grandfathers were united in that way. And many of those people died fighting and resisting fascism.
Yes.
What are these people afraid of?
Well said, Jack.
Oh, that's really well said, Jack. And, you know, I don't know if you caught this, Jack, but I believe it was last week. Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. She said that out loud. We arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Antifa stands for anti-fascist.
Yeah, when you're against Antifa, what does that say about you?
855. Thank you, Jack. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Are you going to a No Kings rally on Saturday? We would love to hear from you. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So
dang.
Oh, you're in trouble now, Troy. Ooh.
It's not the first time I've been in trouble. I plan on going to Boston. I've got my Who Would Jesus Support sign and my flag, and I'll be carrying both, and I can't wait to join the protesters up there.
Appreciate it, Troy. Thank you so much.
I did some.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You as well.
Thank you very much, Troy. We appreciate you as always calling. I did some slight calculations here. Also, live stream comments are starting to get unhinged. It's amazing. All caps here, baby. I did some calculations.
Yes.
And it would cost George Soros, who also, by the way, was not a Nazi collaborator. He was the survivor of the Holocaust. So let's just stop disrespecting that emotion. But if you paid every single, let's say there are 5 million people in June.
Yep.
5 million people, $25. That's a fair price. $125 million to fund this. He's a billionaire, and that he could afford that. But I feel like somewhere around the $50 million mark, we'd know if he was just handing out checks or cash or at least giving them, you know, scoops certificates for Culver's. I mean, that's my point is like this George Soros narrative, when everything falls apart for them, they always go back to their greatest hits. And their greatest hits are not defendable, they're not true, and they're ridiculous. It sounds like an old man saying, I met Antifa. He was a bad man.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join the conversation. Are you going to a No Kings rally on Saturday? 855-75-CIVIC. By the way, I do just want to point out that Scott Bessent,
mm-hmm.
who is in the Trump administration, worked for George Soros for decades.
Really?
Look it up.
Wow.
Look it up. Scott Bessent worked for George Soros. So apparently, George Soros is part of the government.
Oh, my God. I do like King Rat's. This is a beautiful statement. Wasn't Eisenhower the head of Antifa? Yes, you're absolutely right. Five-star general, former president Dwight D. Eisenhower was. We found him.
Now we know. Liz from Saukville has been waiting on the line. Good morning, Liz. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Good morning. Both my husband and I have been to the first No Kings protest. We went to the one in Port Washington and then in West Bend in Ozaukee County. We were not paid. Everybody was happy and in a great mood. We were just there to, to give our voices to what we believe should change in this administration.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually really fun.
So are you kind of mad you haven't gotten paid yet, Liz?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering. It's kind of disappointing, yeah. Right? Apparently everybody else is getting paid. You may want to check on that and find out where your check is. No, I'm serious. Thank you for checking in, Liz. Really appreciate it.
And that's what I love hearing, these stories of these protests and people having an amazing time connecting. And as you said, Jack said earlier, these are you can use the flag of Antifa, whatever that means to you. But it's also the fact that these are individuals who are concerned about our country. And as I mentioned earlier and yesterday, how many people from the inauguration to June of this year were part, like who voted for Trump and from the inauguration to June joined that rally because they were disaffected by what has happened in this presidency? And how many people from June to this Saturday will join to say, you were right? Let's do this. We got work to do. Because again, this is not about anything other than class. We are the working middle class or the working poor or the poor. And we're the ones who are propping this country up with our tax dollars that is being funneled into the pockets of all these billionaires and millionaires. So when they're marching for all of us.
855-752-4842. Brett from Brown Deer, you get the last word. We're up against the clock. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
All right, yeah, I'll be out in West Bend with me and my buddy. It's a great time. The people out there are mostly my age, like in our 60s. And we didn't get paid, and that's all right. We'll do it for free again.
There you go.
It's about supporting democracy.
Yep.
It's about supporting America and democratic institutions. Thank you, Brett. Really appreciate it. That's what the No Kings rally is for.
Yep.
By the way, on one serious note, we're going to end with this. All joking aside, I'm worried that crazies that watch Fox will bring a gun to a rally in defense of democracy. You see anybody acting out on Saturday, do something about it.
Say something.
Say something right away. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. We are the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up in the Philippines on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in just a few, J.R. Radcliffe, Milwaukee Journal sports guru, will join us to talk all things sports, including about Game 3 tonight, Brewers at the Dodgers. Also, a reminder for the Maggie Dawn Show today. Liam Kent, founder and Blue Anchor Project, national partner of No Kings Day, is going to be joining us, joining her in the 5 o'clock hour on keeping protesters safe this weekend and what to expect at the No Kings rallies that are set for this Saturday. So join Maggie later on this afternoon in the 5 o'clock hour. We did have a couple other texts came in that I wanted to share with you. Carmella in Milwaukee, Jane and Greg. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has an article, too, about what to expect for Saturday. The 100-plus organizing groups for the protest include the ACLU, the American Federation of Teachers, the Human Rights Campaign, and others. No Kings leaders said Saturday's protests will be peaceful and nonviolent. Local organizers all undergoing security and de-escalation training. Carmela also says now she's going to go find a frog costume and bubbles and flowers. I'll look for you, Carmela, in the frog costume. There look for go. Me in the unicorn.
There you go.
I'm going to go buy that this afternoon.
I can't wait to see that costume and the sign.
By the way, if you're going to be at a No Kings rally, please send in photos. We would love to see them, especially if you live in smaller communities.
Yeah.
We'd love to see what kind of turnout you get.
And that's an important time. Saturday is a very important time for people who feel like they live in a red wave of everything to find out there are people out there who agree with you on things, feel the same way you do about democracy, and willing to work together. And I love hearing those stories. I especially love hearing the stories of small towns having good turnouts and people being really excited to see all the community there.
No Kings is about pro-democracy. That's what it's about.
Yeah, really. That feels pretty simple, Jane.
Not that
feels
complicated.
Pretty simple.
Okay. In the time that we have left before we go to the bottom of the hour news, this is a story, too, that we haven't had a chance to get to. Reporters leave Pentagon en masse after refusing to sign on to new rules. Pete Hegseth and the Department of Defense essentially wanted reporters to be stenographers.
Yes.
And you can only print things that we give you, and you can't investigate anything, and you can't report anything you didn't get from us.
Yeah.
And everybody refused to sign it, including Fox.
And Newsmax.
And Newsmax.
The only ones who signed.
The only group or media outlet that signed is OAN, One American News.
Yeah. Which is like, you know, oh, cool, our high school paper stuck around to report things. Cool.
More than 30 members of the Pentagon Press Corps walked out of the building before a deadline. Nancy Youssef, a staff writer for The Atlantic, a longtime Pentagon correspondent, said this is a sad day for people who support a free press. I'm incredibly honored to be part of a press corps that stuck together and is committed to protecting our First Amendment rights. Defense Department cited security concerns in putting forth these new regulations, including cutting media access to large parts of the Pentagon where they were previously allowed to circulate. I've seen different reports that say that Pete Hegseth just is so worried about people leaking about how incompetent he is one of the reasons this is happening.
I mean, he doesn't really need the press to do it. I mean, the problem is, when it comes to leaks, he invites the press in. Let's look at his SignalGate thing that happened. He added a journalist to talk about top secret plans.
That's all kind of disappeared, too.
And, oh, of course it has.
Right.
And one of the things I saw when I watched the reporting was that they were afraid that news that is classified and unclassified will get out there. Well, if it's classified, the reporters aren't going to report it because there are consequences, both just reputation as well as legal.
And national security.
And as far as I know, there hasn't been a huge problem with that happening, leaking classified information in the past. So why all of a sudden now? I think it has more to do with the fact that he wants to protect the Hegseth Pentagon from all detractors. And honestly, kudos to Newsmax and Fox News. They could have easily laid down. I'm not surprised that Fox News walked out because They have their moments. We've seen their moments where you say, is someone going to get fired for saying this on their airwaves?
Out loud.
But Newsmax, that was very, very surprising.
Well, haven't both Newsmax and Fox been fined millions and millions and millions of dollars for lying about voting machines?
Yes, yes.
They both paid out. OAN is the only one who hasn't so far.
Not yet.
But I just find it interesting that the two outlets that already got spanked for essentially admitting they lied to their viewers, because that's what they did.
Yeah.
But they don't want to sign on. I guess integrity shows up in interesting spots.
And this is just another example. We talked about it, I believe, early on Monday. George Stephanopoulos standing up to the vice president and just saying, we're done with the interview. And whether it was a heartbreak or not, it was still an abrupt ending. And it was basically in the face of lying. And these are how you make the first steps.
And then did you see Trump's response?
No.
He wouldn't take a question from ABC.
No, oh God.
Because they were mean.
They don't like me. Oh, yeah. He said
they were mean.
He said 90 to 94 to 95 to 97% of all the press are against me. That sounds like hinge behavior.
They were mean to JD, so he didn't have to take their questions. Alpha males, baby. Tough, tough, tough guys. They are tough. News is coming up next, and then we're going to talk all things sports with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Maher on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball tonight, Brewers at the Dodgers. Our broadcast will start at 4:30, first pitch, going out about 5:08. Listen to the game on WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha. Again, our broadcast starts at 4:30. Talking all things sports with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe. Good morning, J.R. Talk Greg.
Good morning to you.
Talk Greg off the ledge. We can still come back. We can still move on.
Let me see. Let me see. How am I going to do
Wow.
This? Greg, I got you. Here's what we're going to do.
All right.
We're going to go existential. Back in 2008, this wasn't like widely, I don't think this was widely reported, but the Brewers had a really good team coming into the year 2008. And in the opening game at Wrigley Field, they were up 3-0 late. Their new closer, Eric Gagne, came in and he served up a 3-run home run to Kosuke Fukudomi. And that sent the game into extras. Ryan Braun, coming off his rookie of the year season, comes back to the dugout and he says, you know, it's not supposed to be easy. It's not easy. Screaming at the players. I'm paraphrasing, but like that was the sentiment. And the Brewers went out. They won that game barely. They went on to have an incredible season. They barely get into the playoffs. They need to win on the last day of the season. Then the Mets have to lose. And it's an incredible, incredible run. That has always stuck with me for some reason, because I look back on that and I feel like that's something you can extrapolate to Wisconsin sports in general. When the Green Bay Packers went to the Super Bowl, they had to win their last two regular season games to even get into the playoffs. And then they had to go to Chicago to beat the Chicago Bears in the NFC Championship game. It was not supposed to be easy. It was not easy. They won the Super Bowl. When the Milwaukee Bucks, they lost their superstar Giannis in the Eastern Conference finals to an injury, and it looked real, real bad.
Grim.
And then they had to win that series without him. They went down 2-0 in the NBA finals to Phoenix and came back to win the championship in six games. It was not supposed to be easy. The Badgers beat the undefeated Kentucky Wildcats in the national semifinal. I don't remember what happened after that, but they made it to the national championship game.
And they never stopped being amazing.
I don't remember even the 96 Packers. I do, but that doesn't fit my theme here, where they dominated everybody and won the Super Bowl without really much question at all. But the point is, existentially, as Wisconsin sports fans, nothing comes easily. Everything comes after their backs are against the wall. Yeah. And if going down 2-0, going to Los Angeles, facing a very dominant looking team with great starting pitching, yeah, it looks bleak. It looks bleak. But when it happens, when they rally, when they win this series, when they bring it back to Milwaukee, it is going to fit so neatly on the shelf with all the other championships that Wisconsin sports can hang their hat on. It is going to be very, very special. It might be the least probable of them all. And it is, it's going to bring us so much joy.
That's
what I got, Greg Bach.
I love that. Let's all embrace JR. Yes.
Have you ever thought about starting a church? I mean, that is some preaching, boy. My goodness. Holy cow. You're like, send your tithes to J.R. Radcliffe. I guess that's the thing that's the thing that's troubling for me, is that it feels like Wisconsin sports always has to work harder because we don't have big bankrolls, because we are, even though the Packers are the Packers, we're a small market state. We're not taken seriously. I told you in my email this morning, I had to delete my Twitter account because I couldn't take these people from, and I don't want to get into it too hard here, but I couldn't take these people from Chicago just saying like the worst, meanest things about it. Like if the Cubs would have won, I would have rooted for the Cubs. And I mean that. And I said this before, I would have rooted for my friends and family, for our division, for the Midwest, for the fact that while they're the Cubs, they haven't won 1,000 World Series. And I would have rooted for Craig. I'm sorry. I can't continue to be mad at him. But the opposite side of it, I mean, it's one thing to be like, oh, man, I hate the Brewers. Oh, man, the Brewers suck. But like this little brother, big brother energy narrative that they're bringing, it's like that's disrespectful. They're world-class athletes. And the language they're using, and yes, the L flag picture was a dumb move. That's going to follow them for a long time. But it's just like, it's on top of the fact that we always seem to have to work harder, but also there are so many people who just seem to root against us as is, because you're Milwaukee, you don't deserve it. Even though we do, we do at least deserve to be at the dance.
Yeah, I think the disparity financially is a big storyline here between the Dodgers and the Brewers. And I can't speak to the Cubs thing. I would not take your high road and be pulling for the Cubs if they advanced. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, like they're the rival. And I don't know if I'd want to see the Dodgers roam into the World Series. They're fairly inoffensive as like a team. It's just like the payroll is so high. But you know, like the money is so stark here. Like it's basically $350 versus less than $100 million on the active payroll. And the guys who have started in this rotation, who the two guys who shut them down for 17 of the 18 innings through games 1 and 2 are both on contracts that would, you know, easily make them in one case, the highest paid player in Brewers history. And in one case, the second highest paid player in Brewers history. So it's frustrating probably from that end, knowing that they can't compete. In that sense, they cannot swim in those waters. They would not be after those players. Those players probably wouldn't even look at Milwaukee.
Right.
And if they're all healthy, I mean, baseball is a pretty great equalizer. There are many, many instances of teams that don't have a big payroll or aren't the favorite who go on and win in this game, even over a 7 or 5 game series. But they're all healthy. You know, like you kind of needed the Dodgers to not be healthy the way they are right now, especially with these 4 starters, 3 of whom have had all kinds of injury histories and you know, at points this year were not available.
Yeah.
And now they are. Now they're all healthy and all looking really good.
Right.
That's kind of just unfortunate. I mean, until they get a salary cap, and there may very well be a work stoppage in 2027 to achieve that very end, there's really nothing the Brewers can do about that. They've put forth their best foot that they possibly can. They've won more games than they ever have before, and they put themselves in position. They're gonna need breaks. Every team that wins a championship probably does, but especially a small market team. They just need breaks. They haven't gotten them in this series yet. They still may. They might not. They probably won't. But that is a kind of unfortunate frustration of sports, of capitalism.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you know, you kind of just ride the wave, because there are enough instances in baseball in particular where it doesn't, you know, where the team that's spending less does win. We'll see if that can happen for the Brewers here in LA.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe is here to talk all things sports. We're talking about the Brewers meeting the Dodgers in Game 3 tonight out on the left coast. I heard someone, I believe it was Mike Clemens when I was driving in this morning, talking about how Christian Yelich hasn't had a hit in a really long time. Do these people not watch Bull Durham, the most comprehensive movie on baseball ever made? Obviously, his bat is cursed.
Obviously. And Jacob Mizrowski is Nuke LaLoosh.
It's a chicken bone cross. I mean, that'll fix it. Come on, get on it.
I mean, can they cross into a different baseball movie and have some Pedro Serrano magic to do whatever it is to uncurse this bat? Oh, I don't know. He is 0 for his last 17. He has struck out 5 times in that stretch. He has grounded out, I think, 10 or 11 times. I don't remember which. It's been tough. He doubled leading off Game 3 against the Cubs, and it hasn't happened since then. And I know a lot of people now are kind of latching onto RBIs, which is an imperfect stat to show somebody's, you know, effectiveness, but he had a home run in Game 7 of the 2018 NLCS against the Dodgers. He has not driven in a run since then. That covers multiple postseasons. He was injured for a couple of those, but, it is a fair chunk of games where he has not been driving in runs. And it is a big problem. It is. They need their middle of the bat guys to be effective. And Christian Yelich has not been. This is he's a guy who has had back injuries, and at the end of the season, you got to figure that's when the injuries are probably at their worst.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so here we are at the end of the season, and he has not looked good. I mean, Bryce Turang did not look good through the Cubs series, and then he did hit a homer, which was a pretty key homer in game five. I mean, I do think Yelich is still capable of doing that. They still send him out there. I would think there's probably an indication, because they just haven't used Yelich in the field, even with Jackson Churio nursing a hamstring injury, that they probably feel like there's something there, that it's just not a good idea to put him out there. So I, you know, all I can say is, again, with the magic of baseball, he could go 3 for 5 today with a home run. It really is possible, no matter how big that sample gets in the postseason. But it's been tough in the middle of the lineup. You can't afford to have a bat or two bats, you know, not being effective, because the Dodgers are going to solve that. Their pitchers are too good. And right now that's unfortunately the case.
And I know we're talking about the here and now, and the playoffs are the playoffs, and we can break up stats however we want. But I will say this, that I feel like regardless of what happens in this series, this was definitely a good year for Christian Yelich. Like, all, there was a lot of doubt. There was a lot of, as you said, injuries happening. And we kind of thought to ourselves, oh, is he, you know, is it time for him to be done? He really came back this season to, he wasn't like the glorious Christian Yelich. I don't think that we remember or we've created in our heads, honestly. He's always been a good player. He's been exciting, but this season he has definitely come back to some glory, and it's been fun to watch him play because he looks like he's having a good time.
And before, last year was incredible. He was having an incredible season before the back flared up, cost him the second half, and knocked him out of the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, he even injured, he was awesome. This year, he is still very good. Not awesome, but very, very good. And I mean, he's 30, you know, in his 30s. Like, baseball players don't get better in their 30s. Like, he is absolutely fine for where he is in his age curve, and you know, for where you would expect him to be. So, and also just a great leader, great philosopher when it comes to this stuff. He's a really interesting guy to talk to. He has a great perspective. He's kind of that quiet's the wrong word, but just like steady presence that this clubhouse has had, him and Brandon Woodruff. So there's 100% value to having him there, to having him in the lineup even. So there's no one on the bench that's going to come out and like be, oh, that's the guy you want to replace Christian Yelich. Like, that guy doesn't exist. This team doesn't have that. So they just need him to get some hits. They need him to get some hits at some big spots. William Contreras as well has been good, but not great in this postseason. Like, they just need their big guys to come through for a couple big hits. And if that happens, all will be forgiven.
All will be well. Yeah. We're talking to J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, all things sports. With the time we have left, J.R., Packers coming up against the Cardinals. How are you feeling about that matchup?
Well, the Packers should feel good about it. There's, again, a situation where the quarterback might not play. Kyler Murray has been really banged up. He did not play last week. We'll see about this week, but it's not trending great for him. I mean, he's still pretty hurt. So that should be a win. I mean, a lot of these games should have been wins, the Browns and Cowboys games included. So we can't rule anything out. They don't seem to have right now that ability to just kind of pull away, or maybe it's even will, because they just don't seem to, you know, want to really put the foot on the neck there when they have an advantage. But, you know, this is a game that they should win. They're good. There are not a lot of good teams. Paul Noonan, I'm sure, will tell you this. There's hardly any good teams in the NFL this year. There's, you know, a lot of stats that will show you that it's pretty bunched up this season. The Packers are near the top or at the top of the teams in the NFL. So going 4-1-1, if they win this game, that's a really good record. You know, there's no powerhouses this year. So that would be a really good spot to be in as they finally then kind of get into the part of the schedule where the teams get a little bit better. They've had a really nice stretch here.
Real quickly, JR, how badly will the Badgers lose on Saturday?
Oh, real badly. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to say it's only a 3-touchdown game, that they show up a little bit more than they normally would. Because why not? They got nothing to lose. Ohio State's not interested in this. So 3 touchdowns is all. Man, you want to talk about a program that's down bad. There's the one. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Follow J.R. Radcliffe in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you so much. We will see you in a couple of weeks. Stay close. Stop. When we come back, this shouldn't be a thing. Frog in the Throat edition. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, it's Friday already.
Jeez.
I know. Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the multi-award-winning recombobulation area. I know one of the things we'll probably talk about is they're going to expand 94 again in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yay.
There are some very big projects coming down the road, pun intended, in Milwaukee that are going to make life a little more difficult. And we'll be talking to Dan about that. I spoke to him earlier and we'll talk about that. We're going to be talking about there is a Cap Times article on an investigation of sexual misconduct in schools and the No Kings protest as well. So a lot of great things we're covering with Dan. And more Dan from now on.
More Dan. Dan's going to be joining us now on Fridays at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's so much to cover.
Yeah.
And we want to be as comprehensive as humanly possible.
Yeah.
So Dan brings a lot to the table. So
yes,
Dan is going to be joining us now on Fridays going forward, starting at 9:30. All right, Calvin, it's 10:54. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever stumble over something you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. Jane says at civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from Vice. Lucky Ashley Fike with the byline. The headline reads, "Woman swallows 8 live frogs to cure her back pain."
Hmm.
An 82-year-old woman in Hangzhou, China, recently swallowed 8 live frogs to cure her back pain. This, not surprisingly, landed her in the hospital. The woman, only identified as Mrs. Zhang, suffered from a herniated disc that caused persistent lower back pain. I'm sure that was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Instead, though, of reaching for painkillers, she turned to local folklore, where they said eating live frogs will relieve muscle and joint aches. Without explaining why, she asked members of her family, "Can you go catch some frogs?" They assumed she was going to make frog legs. No, that wasn't it. She swallowed 3 live frogs one day, 5 the next day. Within days, she had a stomach ache so bad she could no longer walk. She was rushed to the hospital. Tests revealed she had a parasitic infection. A tapeworm.
Oh, good Lord.
Commonly found in amphibians and reptiles. Dr. Wu Zhongwen says, quote, "Something we can all live by. Swallowing live frogs damages the patient's digestive system and allows parasites to enter the body." She spent 2 weeks getting special treatment before finally being discharged. The doctor who treated her said he's seen it all. People gulping down snakes, sipping raw fish, even taping frog skin to their bodies.
Oh, my God.
Most of these folks are elderly. He said they keep these remedies that they're using quiet until they're too sick to hide it.
PJ on the live stream has a very interesting comment. He says, "Could have told her that was a bad idea."
Oh,
yeah, baby!
Calvin, where is it? Thank you.
It's very weird. It's just older folks relying on the traditional medicines. I wouldn't suggest it, endorse it, but I'm like, I get that. You're of a certain age. You may think this could. Whereas if someone in this country was like 20, try to be like, "You are the biggest idiot on the face." But for some reason, I'm like, I give her reverence for
at
least trying. But then it's like, I have a stomachache. Of course you do.
Just keep this in mind. While frogs do contain compounds used in some traditional medicines, scientists have long warned eating live amphibians provide no proven health benefits. What it does offer, as this woman found out firsthand, is a direct line to the emergency room.
Oh my gosh.
So avoid swallowing live amphibians. Unless you check with Bob Jr. first, he'll probably say it's fine. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
crazy days.
Indeed.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Todd Alba takes over from 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. If you're planning on attending the No Kings rally on Saturday, join Maggie in the 5 o'clock hour. I know she's going to be talking pretty specifically about that and much, much more. Have a wonderful day. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.